Antonio Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Tazdingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 78 for May 1st, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, The Spanish Announce Table, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before you get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. You want to get in touch with us directly? Go fuck yourself. No, just kidding. Don't be shy. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies.net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel. We're back from my trip to Vancouver. We've got Heavyset.
The original. Hey, yo.
We've got Kevbo Trek.
The original. Howdy.
We've got Will.
The original. Thanks for having me here.
And we've got Carp.
The not-so-original. Me.
Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Star Wars Episode 7 cast unveiled. Justice League rumor control is Matt Damon playing Aquaman. We've got a list of 20 summer movies you absolutely cannot miss. Adam Sandler's Pixels to arrive in theaters next summer. The last of Monty Python coming to movie theaters. Justice League movie to be directed by Zack Snyder. Should Disney pay bonuses to the laid-off animators of Frozen? And is Zombievers the next Sharknado? Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
Let's go with the top movies for the summer, seeing how we're getting into that season.
We might as well, eh? All right, I'm going to start naming some off the list, and you tell me if we can or cannot miss this movie this summer, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Go.
Meh.
I say we probably can't miss that one, even though Spider-Man is gay.
Kev?
Never been a big Spider-Man guy.
You haven't seen the first three?
I saw the first one, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
I found the second one was better than the first one. Will, what do you think? Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, I say go for it. I'm guessing something big's going to happen in this one. It seems to go that way. I'm sure Carp will agree. Some stuff's going down in this one.
Although I think he was a complete asshole in the first one, I'm definitely looking towards seeing Electro make his debut. Even though it looks kind of sketchy, but I'm keeping an open mind. I'm saying yay for that.
Who was an asshole in the first one? Peter Parker?
Yeah.
I actually thought he was, because usually Peter Parker's like, the way that Maguire was doing him was kind of lame. He was a bit cooler. Like, he's more of a role model. Like, let's say I have kids watching the movie, I would rather that they watch this Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
You know what's a great role model, Will?
Who?
I pretend, well, we're talking about Peter Parker in the last movie.
Yeah.
And I'm being a little sarcastic.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not going to touch... I know I'm going to say Mary Jane, but whatever her name
is. Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. I promised the father I ain't going after Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
2 seconds after he dies, fuck that. Go after Gwen Stacy. Yeah, great role model for the kid.
But she wants it. No?
Oh, but she wants
it.
What
are you going to do?
Forget
die?
About giving. No. Don't give your word to a dying
the
fucking father.
Dead.
You fucking asshole. Just saying.
She wants to help sling Spider-Man's web, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, brother.
Speaking of big giant beasts, how about Godzilla?
Million times, yes.
How about no?
What?
Really? What?
What?
I'm not big on this Godzilla shit. Fuck that.
Wait.
Fuck you.
Like, what don't you like?
Have you not seen the trailer for this Godzilla? It looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston.
I'd like to generally forget about that piece of crap.
Yeah, wait. But Heavy, could you explain? Because I find that I was not expecting that. Like, because you're going totally the opposite way. Like, you don't want to see this? Does it look bad to you?
Yeah, I'm just never been, like, really interested in Godzilla, period.
You know, like, I wasn't a big fan of the one with Matthew Broderick either. But, I mean, this is, like, a legit cast, legit graphics, legit story, legit trailer. It's legit.
The thing that, like, remembering the last Godzilla movie is, like, this one, they actually made him Godzilla and not a dinosaur.
That too,
like,
yeah.
So it's just, they kind of brought back that imposing, larger-than-life Godzilla, and just the trailers have been so effective.
All right. X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yep.
Definitely. It looks
yep.
freaking awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That was a big debate there. What's next? Maleficent.
I don't need it.
Doubtful.
Yeah, fuck Jolie.
I think I'm going to go see it. I think Jolie was a good casting choice for it, but I don't know what to expect from the movie.
Okay, what's next on the list? We have A Million Ways to Die in the West. I say fucking yay,
oh,
man.
Hell yeah. This looks hilarious, especially the Red Band trailer.
Absolutely. It just, even when I heard the concept, I thought, you know, Seth MacFarlane can definitely pull this off. Just a stupid comedy. It's cool to see he is now the predominant lead role. It's not like he's not behind a bear or he's not doing Peter Griffin or Stewie. So it's cool that he's actually being the main character in it. And you've got kind of his random twist humor, which I really like. So definitely a yay for me. Kev, about Trek, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I wasn't really sold on this when I first heard about it. But then I saw the trailer and just completely changed my mind. And I like kind of a lot of the almost winking at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like yeah. everyone's dying here. Why?
Yeah. I love when they break the fourth
yeah,
wall.
So it's
cool.
It's pretty cool to see.
All right. Edge of Tomorrow.
You mean Tom Cruise in Groundhog Day?
It looks terrible.
Tom Cruise, he looks like he's
good.
Got a proton.
Guys, it looks fine. It doesn't look that bad.
No,
it looks like he's got a proton pack.
Yeah, actually.
I'm the sci-fi guy here, and just it doesn't look good.
Okay, was the other Tom Cruise sci-fi movie good? The one with Morgan Freeman?
Oblivion?
Yeah, was that anything I never watched?
No, it wasn't all that great.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. It wasn't movie of the year type thing, but it wasn't a bad movie.
22 Jump Street.
100% yes.
Ice Cube's in it.
Ice Cube was in the first one.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, he was the captain, right? Yeah.
He's just going to be in it a little more. But yeah, for some reason, C. Tates and Jonah Hill just work together.
Yeah, they have good chemistry, yeah. Transformers Age of Extinction.
Chibi Tuesday.
Yeah,
I'll have to watch it. I know I will watch it. I'll just want to. So
I'm going to give Michael Bay one more chance because he did good with Pain and Gain.
By the way, guys, I realized it was never Bay. Like, people blame Bay, but all the whole production team, all of that was actually Steven Spielberg. All of what you see is initially Steven Spielberg's idea and vision. Bay just put it all together.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking cop out for Bay. Explosions! Mark Wahlberg's in it, and Shia LaBeouf is not.
Shia LaBeouf is apparently retiring from acting.
What?
He really needs money.
He went to his Nymphomaniac premiere with the paper bag on his head saying, "I'm not famous anymore," on the paper bag.
Yeah, him and Bieber should fucking retire. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, hell yeah, this looks awesome.
I never thought apes were a draw. I don't like the original. I don't like the other one. I'm not going to go see this one. Jupiter Ascending.
Yep.
Yes.
Mila Kunis.
Million times, yes.
C. Tates as a space elf.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Anything that's not the Matrix, the Wachowskis pretty much fuck up, so.
What about V for Vendetta? They produced it.
Yeah. Like I said, anything that involves the Wachowskis that isn't the Matrix, they generally fuck up.
Guardians of the Galaxy, hell yeah.
No question about it. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, actually.
Really, I like the fact that it's kind of anti what we're used to seeing in these Marvel movies.
But if it's too tongue-in-cheek, I just won't care anymore. Because the fun thing about the Marvel movies is that they actually, like Thor, they sell because they actually, even though it's all crazy, they play it straight. This one doesn't seem to be that way. I don't know how that's going to work.
I think you're too much of a traditionalist because you're a comic book geek. I know Kev's a big fan of this.
I actually agree with Will. I hope it's not too far. Like, I hope they don't put too much comedy into it where it kind of takes away from the whole movie.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Have to check it out.
Fuck yeah. I'm gonna at least test it out. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in Michael Bay, but it's Ninja Turtles, so I have to fucking see it.
For me, it's the curiosity factor. The fact, I agree with Heavy, it's been, you know, what, 20 years since the original? So just to see what they can pull off.
So you're not counting the animated movie?
Nope. Animated movies do not count. In my world, anyways.
Close-minded.
Even though the Turtles were initially animated when you first saw them?
Blasphemy. I don't know what you're saying. This is the Will biopic, The Giver.
You know, I want to talk about this. I really want to talk about this because the thing is this. If you read the book, the world in the future, to make it all even, they take away the idea of seeing color. So they make everything dull so nobody's able to feel. It's kind of like Equilibrium. Okay.
Yo, who is this? Fucking Donald Sterling running it?
Hey, Bridges, dude.
No, it's like Equilibrium. But the thing is that in the book, the main character can see red. So he starts noticing that the world is a bit different. And the movie was in color. So I found that just, it was weird. I didn't want to be a fanboy saying, oh, blasphemy, but you're taking away, you actually have a medium that can actually work. It can actually go to film, making it black and white, give a good experience. But it being in color would have ruined it. However, now they're going back to black and white, so that's pretty good.
The Expendables 3 starring everybody ever.
I'll watch it.
Oh, hell yeah!
You know,
it's a lot to digest.
What? Oh! Yeah, you're just being an idiot.
I just did it to be a dick. Actually, I do want to see this one. In the words of my girlfriend, in the words of my girlfriend when we seen the first one, you have to have a wiener to like that movie.
Well, I remember, like, the first one I saw with all, like, the fanboys the first day, and the second one I didn't see with the fanboys, and it was so much more fun seeing it with, like, fellow fanboys. Like, just that opening night where everyone's cheering and...
Well, look, the movies themselves are not great. Like they're not as good as, let's say, Taken for an action movie. But the fact that everybody's there together, they're all there for laughs, having a good time, you have a good time with your boys, too. So
and it's just it's an old school action movie, which we don't see much of anymore, and when we do, they tend to flop. So
Antonio Banderas, Wesley Snipes, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Kelsey Grammer is what? Nick Cage isn't in this one? I thought he was supposed to be in it.
No, he's not in this one. Sorry,
that's bullshit.
He dropped out.
But Harrison Ford is.
It's not Nick Cage.
Imagine Chris Walker was in it. That'd be good. I'd love that.
All right, Will, what would you like to discuss this week?
I want to discuss the movies, so that's not what we're going to do. So let's see. I'm going to discuss the Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
While Man of Steel ended up being one of the most divisive blockbusters, 2013, it's hard to deny its success. Made for an expensive $225 million, the film wound up being a great investment for the folks at Warner Brothers, as the Superman film wound out making nearly $670 million worldwide. The high grosses were enough to secure director Zack Snyder the job of helming the sequel, the still-untitled Batman vs. Superman, and now comes news that he has secured the job of directing the Justice League movie as well. Will, your thoughts? I know you weren't a big fan of the Superman movie, but I'll say this. I was a fan of it. I love the darkness of it. I love the fact that Superman had to kill at the end. Spoiler alert. And I'm looking forward to see what he's going to do to the Justice League. I also like the fact that they keep the director on to continue to kind of have the same style of movie. What do you think?
My problem is actually, it's not... It's the film in between. They're talking about what's going to happen later, and yet we still don't know what the current film is. And I think they're getting a bit ahead of themselves. I understand that, you know, they need a plan, but... If they're trying to copy Marvel, Marvel started with just Iron Man. That was the experiment. It worked. Man of Steel was not... You liked it, but it was not unanimous. So putting the same director for the next two films, I find that a bit risky, especially with all that's going on. And what I find really, really weird is how the second film seems to already be the Justice League. They casted Cyborg. Apparently, there's Wonder Woman now. Batman, Superman... So I have no clue what they're going to... Like, is it so much of a Justice League film? Or is it just... Like, how can I say? Is the next film just a preparation for the Justice League movie? And if so, then why don't we just go directly to the Justice League? So I find it's kind of odd what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see your point. But I think it's great that they've got that sense of continuity. You know, people already know what to expect when seeing the Superman movie. So they'll know what to expect when watching Batman versus Superman or Justice League. Anybody else want to chime in?
Superman versus Batman looks like it's going to be a clusterfuck, and these guys are trying to compete.
But hold on, dude. You haven't even seen any footage of it.
Yeah,
I mean,
just the casting, and I don't know.
What are you shitting on Ben Affleck, dude? He hasn't even put on the fucking tights yet.
I don't think he's shitting on Ben Affleck. I don't think it's that.
You know what? Prove me wrong, but right now, to me, they're trying to compete on Marvel's level, and they don't have it. I am just... At this point, I don't even think it's going to get made in the end.
I mean, what would it have took to be on that level? Maybe Christian Bale is Batman, Nolan in this? Like, What do you need to see to be impressed?
I don't know. Just right now, the casting alone, I don't like. I don't understand why they're going right to Superman versus Batman. To me, they should be doing an entirely new Superman storyline. So, like, nothing involved with Justice League. One more Superman movie, then you need. Well, they obviously can't do Green Lantern because that was crap. Wonder Woman. To me, Gal Gadot is not a Wonder Woman, so I don't look. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm keeping my hopes real low on this movie, and if it turns out to being a 3 out of 5 star movie, I'll be very impressed.
I mean, I could have seen a Flash movie happen. You know, we got that cheesy live action from the 90s, but I mean, it's been so long. I could totally see an independent Flash movie happening.
But they have a show. I find that weird, too. I mean, another thing that's confusing me is that they're not getting out straight with this thing. I want to know if the Arrow universe is connected. Because right now, Arrow is starring this DC universe on TV. Doing very well. It has some notable actors in it, which could cross over to the movies. You have a Flash TV show being developed. It would be so easy to say it's all connected, and thus they don't, how do I say, half the work's done for beating Marvel to their game. I don't know why you're not doing that.
There's a show called Gotham coming out too, but I think
It's not related.
It looks horrible.
No, it's not. They confirmed it's not related.
You mentioned Arrow, and I'd actually like. Isn't it Green Arrow's part of the Justice League, right?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
I would love to see Stephen Amell. Is that how you pronounce his name?
I thought it was Armel, no?
Oh, Armel, sorry. Yeah. I would love to, like, I think he'd be perfect for it, because obviously...
Yeah, you could.
He's not going to be, like, one of the major stars.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know he plays the role well, so why not just give it to him? And it would give a big boost to the show as well. Not that it needs it, because it's fantastic.
No, see, I know what you're saying, Kevin, because right now Marvel has a synergy, right? Across, like, TV and movies and all connected. DC could easily just... do the same thing by just saying that Arrow's connected. I have no clue why they're not using this to their advantage. It would work really, really well. And we're still not saying what's connected, what's not. I don't know. To me, it's a bit too... I don't know. It's weird. It's a bit odd.
Kebbo Trek, what would you like to discuss?
Stories are pretty weak. Stories are pretty weak this...
What are you talking about?
It's pretty terrible.
What?
I'm going to go...
You got 2 Justice League stories.
Well, yeah,
Star Wars cast has been announced.
Oh, you didn't announce the Star Wars, did you? Did you mention
it? Oh, fuck, that's what I wanted.
So I'm going to go with the Star Wars then.
I totally fucked up. That's what I wanted. I forgot. That was what I wanted. I forgot. It's Star Wars. What?
Too late. Too
I go with that. Star Wars.
Star Wars Episode 7 finally has its stars. May the Force be with them. After months of carefully guarded secrecy and endless internet speculation, the cast of the latest incarnation of the space epic was unveiled Tuesday on the official Star Wars website by Lucasfilm and Walt Disney Company. Starring in J.J. Abrams' new Star Wars are John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Max von Sydow, Andy Serkis, and Domhnall Gleeson. Who the fuck are these guys, Kev?
I actually like what they're doing, though, because if you look at the original Star Wars, Hamill, Fisher, and Ford weren't big names, really, when...
It's Carrie Fisher.
Who did I say?
Pamela Fisher.
Why did I say Pamela Fisher? Oh, anyway, they weren't big names when it came out, and... Because you're going to get the big names anyway, so why not bring in some new people to fill in the gaps? Like, you're going to have... Just having Ford in it alone, you know, will just make it so much better. Like, you have the star power that you need. Add in Luke and Leia and all that. So I like that they're kind of going with unknown people rather than getting big celebrities to play the roles.
I mean, you see now how important having the veterans on this cast is now. Because they're the ones that are going to be the draw for the old crowd. You're going to have the diehards that show up for sure. But, I mean, that old school crowd that wanted... to see the original 3 back in the last couple of films, now finally get to see them. So, you know, hopefully they pull off a decent role in a supporting role. And hopefully these new characters, you know, people get emotionally attached to them and then they can kind of ride on their coattails for the next couple of movies. So,
well, apparently Ford's supposed to have, like, a lot of screen time in the first one. Like, real, like more than Luke and Leia.
Is that good or bad?
For the first one, I think it's good. Like, you don't need that for all the movies, but like you said, like, I don't think it's just old fans. I think everyone wanted to see those characters. So if you put them in the first movie a lot, especially, I can't even remember his character's name. Harrison,
Han Solo?
Oh,
Han
Jesus. Solo?
You fucking fail at life.
You know what? No, put him off. Hang up on him.
No, but
doesn't deserve to be.
That's awesome.
What's the name of that that superhero with the fucking the cape and he's like a bat?
That green
quiet.
Guy who teaches everybody.
Super guy. What is it?
Quiet. No,
super bat.
You put him in a lot in the first one, and I think it'll get people emotionally invested into the whole series. Like obviously, after the first one, maybe you scale back the original's role a bit, but. In the first one, people want to see Luke. They want to see Han Solo. They want to see Leia. So you give them a lot of screen time while introducing your next generation of characters, and then you scale it back. So I think putting Ford in is something they really have to do.
You don't actually know who those cast people are apart from the three? Really?
None of those.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, all he's going to be is a mocap suit crawling around on the ground.
Yeah. But another thing, old school. First of all, Kenny Baker, the midget who plays R2-D2 is back. So is C-3PO guy.
Well, you know what? I wasn't going to go see it, but now that the midget's back, I'm
there. No, because you know what's cool, though? But guys, think about it. They don't need him anymore. They don't. They don't need that guy. But it's fun to actually bring him in. Another thing, so none of you know who Max von Sydow is? He's like the biggest actor that they just named. He's
really?
He's the main priest in Exorcist.
You know what? I can't believe I forgot that guy.
Okay.
The main priest in Exorcist.
Jared Watch. Are you being sarcastic, old school?
Yes.
Jared Watch Dredd with Stallone?
Yeah.
He's the old dude who they like bring out. Who gets exiled.
Okay, so it's Exile number one. I can't believe I missed the guy who played Exile guy number one in
old school,
Dredd.
Can we swear this podcast?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, you fucking dick, old school.
Speaking of guys who like dick... No, we actually went with Will already. So I guess we've left with Carp. Carp, the bottom feeder of the news segment.
Oh, you know.
Who also likes Carp?
I do not. And
what would you like to discuss, you piece of shit?
All right, listen up, you cocksuckers. Just because you and Kev both sword fight on the weekend doesn't mean I'm all sexual.
Awesome. I didn't know you were into sword fighting.
I'm gonna mute. Sorry.
I didn't know you were into fencing. Old school. It's a pretty cool sport.
Skin fencing. This show's derailed. Cargo.
It starts with a zomp and it ends with a beaver.
How could I have not thought you would pick? Is zomp beavers the next Sharknado? Having grown up in the 80s. The article writer held a special place in his heart for creature features. Gremlin was a gateway drug to Critters and Ghoulies. The article writers chased down titles like Arachnophobia, Jack Frost, Black Sheep, and Piranha Part 2, The Spawning, all for the practical effects and puppets that were both creepy and funny. So, of course, article writer heard that Zombievers was coming out. He was just... ecstatic. I mean, it just seems like a ridiculous movie, a lot of fun. This is the directorial debut of the Crank Yankers writer. So if you're into the Crank Yankers show where they prank call and use kind of puppets for the people's reactions, this is his directorial debut. So, I mean, I'm not going to expect a lot. You kind of leave your mind at the door, but it just seems like a funny over the top. Kind of horror flick. I would check it out just because of the ridiculousness. Carp, let's get your 2 cents.
Hey, look, it's going to be like straight out of old school style horror flick. Producers of American Pie, Cabin Fever, and The Ring. I mean, this is going to be all sorts of awesome. I really hope this gets a release at Fantasia here in Montreal during the summer. And whenever it's playing, if I have to miss out on work that day, I'm going to take the day off work and I'm going to see Zombievers. Look, the actions make little to no sense other than filling the running time with dirty words, sex, and violence. That's all you need to know.
Do you think the audience is going to be more of a nostalgic horror film audience, or do you think young kids will go see it? What do you think?
No, this is going to be rated hard R. There's no young kids that are going to... Well, I mean, 18-year-olds, maybe. You know, 18-year-olds who have uncles like me who are like, yo, you got to just old-school horror. This destroys any piece of shit that's come out in the last decade. practical effects alone. Filmed, I believe, in Muskoka Valley up in Ontario. So, you know, little Canadian.
Big fan of Muskoka Valley.
So, it looks hilarious. I saw the trailer. It looks even better. Yeah. It's, yes. Yes, yes, it's, and all sorts of yes.
Yeah, yes. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. All right, so we've been off for a couple of weeks. A couple of big-name movies have released. Let's start with Captain America 2. Start with Carp. Gear 2 cents.
I really liked the story, concept, the characters. It was a really good film, except for the action scene, shaky cam. Despite what Will's psychotic friends say on Facebook about their...
You mean the closed-minded asshole?
Guys, let's discuss this.
If you could elaborate what we're talking about.
Yeah. Just the action fight scenes, there was a lot of quick cuts and shaky cam. Anything between Cap and Winter Soldier. I saw promise of an actual fight, and then I saw shitty cinematography of shaky cam and quick cuts because I guess they thought Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan couldn't have a fight. But from what I was able to actually witness without wanting to vomit violently from the shaky cam, it looked good. The storyline was amazing. Seeing Robert Redford was super awesome. If it weren't for the excessive amount of shaky cam, this would be a 9.5. But because of it, it's an 8.
I know you're going to disagree with us on a little bit of that. So I want to get your thoughts on it.
Did you talk to me?
Your name's Will, right?
No, I didn't hear. Okay. So I'm glad. Sorry. You're talking to me? You're talking to me? Okay. Sorry. I'll start now.
The fuck, dude?
Fuck you. I'll start now. Thanks, old school. Yeah, I like to say a few words. So it's not that it's weird about the shaky cam, but I didn't feel it. It wasn't like Hunger Games. It wasn't like any of Paul Greengrass movies. I felt it went with the flow. My beef with the film was how the Winter Soldier wasn't there much. I mean, for a film called Winter Soldier, the villain is not him. It's someone else who I will not name, you know, for spoilers. Also, they do something that I find almost unforgivable. They have one of the most gorgeous women in Hollywood right now, Scarlett Johansson, and they find a way to just mess up her look. People have put these, not compilations, but comparisons to her from previous movies like Iron Man and Iron Man 2 and Avengers, and they gave her this weird tan in this film that just doesn't work at all.
Regardless of the tan, she's still hot. Sorry, go.
No, she's still hot. She's still hot, but it was just, I don't know, it wasn't as hot as it could have been. That's all I'm saying. I found that I was impressed that it's actually more of a team film. Samuel Jackson has a lot of stuff in this film. Falcon, Anthony Mackie has got a lot to do. There's a lot of Scarlett Johansson too, so that's pretty awesome. I liked seeing Georges St-Pierre in there. That was pretty cool too. Oh yeah, the other fault I have with the movie is that in the comics, they're trying to be very faithful to the comics by making the Winter Soldier have all these Russian things. But in the film, in the comics, it was a Russian KGB guy, assassin. And then when you watch reviews of the film, I've seen people say, oh, and, you know, he plays a Russian assassin. However, even though he uses Russian guns and he's got the Russian star on him and he speaks Russian, there's no point to him being Russian in the movie. There is no connection between him and Russia. None. But yet they keep referring to Russia for some random stupid reason. He's even called the Winter Soldier because of the Cold War. So by changing stuff in the comics, from the comics, and trying to keep some, they're trying to get the whole thing, but I don't know, as a connoisseur of the comics, it just doesn't make sense to me. I would have rather just, either they stick to the whole thing, or it makes sense with his origin story. As Carb said, they might change it. I just found that a bit weird. Apart from that, I love the action scenes, and I found it fun that Cap is facing one of those unstoppable foes. I haven't seen that since Terminator 2, so I guess that's a really hard review. I give that 9 Cap shields in the face out of 10.
Anybody else want to give their 2 cents?
I'll just very quickly review it. I mean, Carp pretty much echoed my sentiments exactly. It was a great movie, great action movie, great story. I love what the internal story they kind of brought with it. The shaky cam, it was a disaster. It's one of the 2 or 3 worst movies I think I've ever seen with shaky cam. If I had to rate it on 10, it would be a 9. I'm probably going to bring it down to a 7.5 Georges St-Pierre acting lines.
Hey, man, he said his two lines in French. It worked.
Wow, What I found funny is they're like, oh, he's an Armenian terrorist, and you could totally hear the French accent when he's speaking.
Hey, I am the Armenian terrorist.
I found his accent not that bad after this.
Sorry. But whenever he spoke, people in the theater would start laughing.
Yeah, but no, but guys, I found his accent to be more neutral than, like, he was trying.
I am, what the fuck are you talking about?
He was actually trying.
I am the Armenian terrorist.
No, but I heard, he was actually trying really hard to have a neutral French. It didn't work, but I could tell that because when he speaks Quebecer, usually, it's pretty rough. This guy's from, like, the woods. But he tried his best in this one. I'll give him credit for that.
Captain America 2, I like Captain America 1 better. And I know a lot of people, like, they don't think that way, but I love Captain America. But I think this was a really good sequel. Like, probably better than Iron Man 2 and, hell, Iron Man 3. I felt like it carried one from another without having to worry about, like, the whole Avengers thing. It wrapped up certain things from the first movie that I liked those aspects. It made it feel like these weren't going to be aspects that were going to be forgotten about. It's kind of a spoiler of The Winter Soldier, but I feel like you know enough about it. You saw them leading up to it, and I was very happy that they kept somewhat close to the comics as far as what I know. They didn't go too far off. They put something in the first movie that's supposed to be there, and it finally paid it off. I like how they work Hydra in. I'm not going to exactly say how for anybody who hasn't seen it, but I love that aspect. And I think if you like any of the Avengers movies, should be a movie you're dying to go see. It's one of the name brand Avenger movies. We can come to Guardians of the Galaxy. I will understand if anybody has doubts, but I think this was a pretty solid movie. And I would rate it a 4 out of 5, which that equals out to your 10 scale of 8.
Yeah, with the Canadian conversion, I think it's probably around 5.5.
That's like 5.5 Beavers.
Yeah, exactly.
Conversion's a lot closer nowadays.
Speaking of Carp, let's get your thoughts on the Raid 2.
Raid 2, just as awesome as Raid 1, but a lot longer. There was a little bit of shaky cam at some points, but I expected it because it's an action. It's a type of action flip where I would expect it. Fights were super well choreographed. There's a lot of slowdown time, though. It's almost 2.5 hours, which is a little ridiculous for an action flick. And it's definitely up there. It's a solid 8 softball bats to the face of 10.
Anybody else see the Raid 2?
Yeah, I saw it. I felt the shaky cam more present in there than Cap 2. I don't think that makes any sense.
Noticed it was the prison mud fight.
What I noticed it when the older assassin with all those dudes that come to assassinate him in that bar. That's when I noticed it most in that one. In any case, I don't know if that's, it's fine. It's an action film, so yes, you do expect it. It does not be taken. I find that as the smoothest action film so far, but it helps. There's only one guy versus a few people. This is more of it's a bit bigger of a deal. My big beef with the film is that the story is, it looks like an afterthought. It looks like the guy and Carp, you'll tell me if I'm wrong the way it feels, but there was first a fight choreographer. They had all these great fights and they just had to figure out how to place them into the film because it doesn't gel well together. It's very mundane story. It's a story that you've seen a billion times. A billion, billion times. It's just a normal mob story where someone tries to take over someone else. That's it. And yet, they dwell on it a bit much. I don't know. I would have rather it be a shorter film. And if you're going to do a film about fighting where you don't care about the story, then please give us less story. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah. They could have chopped out 45 minutes.
Yeah. By the way, I give the same score, though. I give the same score as you. It's 7, really, 7 out of them.
Really good flick. The chick with the hammers did a really good job.
Yeah, I agree.
The fighter with the softball bat, too.
By the way, Kirk, my favorite scene is where it's almost the end. And it's one of the scenes that a lot of people will find fun in other films, too, where you have the hero comes in and he's facing all the bosses. Like you're at the final level of the game. Yeah. And they know what's going to happen. So since the girl with the hammers is deaf, her boyfriend tells her, she goes and she forgets her hammers on the counter, so she goes back and takes them. And that would, I laughed very hard with that, and so did everybody in the room.
It's the fight, like, up until the final boss fight was just ridiculous. That warehouse fight made no sense at some points. I'm just like, no, people don't bend that way without breaking.
It's all good, man. I had fun with that.
Yeah, it's a very fun flick, and I suggest catching it, especially if you enjoyed the first one.
All right, Heavy, apparently you got another movie to discuss. Let's throw the floor to you.
I went and seen Draft Day, so I'm the only American here to talk football. Yay! if you want to know what it's like to be a Cleveland fan, go see this movie, because it encapsulates what it's like of having to go through so many years with a really bad teams, but the Browns in general. And this puts Kevin Costner in the role of I believe he's supposed to be the GM, and what would go through on draft day. I'm hoping some of this is true, not like with the Browns, but just some of the wheeling and dealing and how these guys, these GMs talk to each other and how they can, it's like, we just find out the ends of a deal. Like, oh, they traded this for this pick, but they kind of like go into reasons like what might drive that team to do that. And it's not just like, hey, do you want to do this? There's like friendships. There's some really good conning and how to really work people who are in the positions that they're in. Hard to explain without going into too many spoilers. But then it just, I mean, the movie takes place during one day, and it ends about the first round of the draft and everything. As a football fan, from being from Cleveland, I'm going to be very biased. It's a 10 out of 10. It's a 5. But I don't know how other people will think about it, how other people feel outside the market. But I think it's a really good feel-good football movie, and those movies are semi-few and far between, even though I know I did see a preview for a movie coming out later this year that looks to be fairly good. But yeah, I'm going to be very biased. Awesome movie. Go see it. America, football.
I have a question for you. There was that movie with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill about drafts and about baseball and drafting a new team. What was that called?
Moneyball.
Yeah, okay.
What does that have to do with draft day, dude?
No. Because I'm talking about the deals and what you see behind the scenes and all that. Was it kind of like that?
It's a little different, because like with baseball, that's like them trying to work on a team and things that they're looking for. But this is kind of like, all right, we don't really want this pick. Because like it's the beginning of the movie, the first team in the draft is the Seattle Seahawks, which ironically enough, they're the ones who won the fucking Super Bowl this past year. And like they're trying to get rid of this pick because they're like, well, we don't really need it. Who's in real desperate need of it? And then they kind of talk about a few teams, and the Browns are a team that come up. And they actually bring up what happened a few years ago with the Redskins and the Rams, where the Rams sold their number one pick, or their first round pick. I think it might have been number two, to the Washington Redskins, and they got like three picks from it. And they were like, oh, you know, they got three picks for it. Let's do the same thing. And that's basically what happens. And within the beginning of the movie, the Browns sell their, I think the first three picks. So it means first round of the next 3 years. And it's the whole story behind them, who they're going to pick, why they're going to pick them, some crazy turns that happened. Really, if this was an M. Night Shyamalan movie, the twist of the movie is the actual draft where things happen that you might not be expecting, but it's kind of been built up to it. But if you love football, you'll really enjoy the movie.
Heavy, if what you just said got me bored to tears, should I not watch this film? It sounds boring to me.
If this movie sounds boring to you,
yeah,
you need to stay out of America. We don't want you here.
Okay,
get the fuck out of here.
I don't want to go. America. I'm happy with my free medicine here. All good.
It ain't free. We pay taxes, bitch.
I just heard a comedian. I love what he was saying about Canada and hockey. He says if he was Canadian, that every sport would be somewhat like related to hockey, because that's like your guys' only sport. And he like connected, I think, the
what
boxing.
What about curling and lacrosse?
Hold on. He went in like what like Canadians would call boxing, and they were like, oh, face hockey. And I thought that one was perfect.
That's awesome. All right, let's get into the numbers.
Does draft day stay true to sport and the Cleveland Browns completely suck again? Or is it not so?
it's a very open ending. Literally, the end of the movie is like this montage of these new players and everybody like running out onto the field of what seems to be the first game of the year. And there's not like a, at the end of this season, the Cleveland Browns, like if the Browns make it to the Super Bowl this year, there's going to be like, okay, we're going to have to redo the end of this movie and be like, yeah, kind of like what that Dan Jimmy Fallon movie where like, oh, the Red Sox actually made it to the World Series this year.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break down the numbers for this week, Kev.
Coming in first place, ending, I believe, Cap America's 3-week hold on number one, is The Other Woman. I know it's a movie we're all dying to see.
Boobs.
Came in at Kate Upton, yeah. Came in at just under $25 million on a $40 million budget, so they're going to be pretty happy there. Coming in at
I
second.
I actually seen that movie. Kate, no, I'm kidding. In all seriousness, my girlfriend's seen the movie, and she was like, I hated that movie.
It had Kate Upton, though.
It's got Kate Upton running in a bikini. I think I may have to buy this on Blu-ray.
But for miscellaneous reasons.
Coming in at second place is Captain America, The Winter Soldier, adding $16 million, giving it a $225 total domestically, and about, what is it, $640 million on the worldwide scale. So by the time this is done, it's probably going to double what the original Captain America made. So obviously Marvel's very happy there. Coming in at third place, and maybe someone can enlighten me because I know nothing about this movie, is Heaven is for Real.
Apparently Heaven is a place on Earth.
No, it's not on Earth.
Boo!
Noob.
I'll tell you what it is, Kebo. It's about a boy who actually had an out-of-body experience. It was a real thing that happened, and it's a movie about that experience.
But are you guys surprised? Like, it made $14 million, giving it a bit over 52. Yes. Are you surprised or how high it's been?
But
or
how much psychotic religious people are in the States?
These movies made a lot of money. Yeah, The Son of God made a lot of money. Yeah, that weird Kevin Sorbo film. What was it called? God is Not Dead? Is that what it was called?
If it's about Jeebus, it's going to make like $20 million.
It makes money. It's really, really weird how it's actually a very good market.
God's a draw. Go ahead, Kevin.
Coming in at number four is Rio 2, adding about $14 million, giving it a little over $96 million with a $103 million budget. On the surface, this might not look great, but like most animated movies, you got to look on the international side, where this movie's added $247 million, so the studio will be happy there. Coming in fifth place is this Paul Walker's last movie?
I don't think he's doing any more.
No, but did he film any ones?
No.
No, it was this, and then he's starting Fast.
Okay.
Fun fact, 90% filmed in Montreal.
Made about $9.5 million on a $28 million budget, so that's kind of iffy.
You surprised with that, especially with the fact that he died and he's got more exposure. Well, he had more exposure.
I think we'll see that more in Fast and the Furious than we'll see it in this. Coming in at sixth place, and we'll throw this one to the panel, is The Disaster Transcendence, adding $4.2 million, giving it $18.5 on a $100 million budget. So the question is, what happened here? Other than the fact that it looked terrible.
Yeah, the fact that it looked terrible.
There you go. It was. It didn't look good. It wasn't good. Nobody went.
But I believe this is Johnny Depp's third straight flop, right?
Yeah, no, Johnny Depp is a terrible fucking actor.
He just needs to do Keith Richards impression of Pirates and make another $400 million.
Exactly,
and then come
drunk
back.
And retard pirate. Transcendence, Rotten Tomatoes, 18%. Brick Mansions has a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Brick Mansions is 11% higher on Rotten Tomatoes than Transcendence.
Yeah, it looks so bad from the preview. Coming in at seventh place is The Quiet Ones, adding $3.8 million in its debut week. In eighth place is the Oscar potential Bears, adding $3.7
million. Is that about hairy homosexuals?
Apparently it is.
Disney. Imagine Disney comes out with that. It's like R-rated fucking. actually making teens some sexual.
Oh, famous. Man, you're a huge dude. They call me
starring
a bear.
Starring Disney.
Coming in at ninth place. Didn't even say how much it made. 3.7. I'm giving it about $11 million total.
Are you surprised, though? Like, all of these Disney documentaries always do shit.
Well, I'm pretty sure they make more than they cost.
Yeah, I imagine it would probably cost like $3-4 million.
Just follow a couple bears around. I can fucking do that.
Exactly.
Well, if you want some, you can go up to Chicago and find yourself a couple.
Chicago.
Actually, you know what? Old school. Did you watch the movie? Was it Grizzly Man?
No.
It's about a guy who actually. You just had
gay
a camera. You would look at bears. And do you know how it ends?
Some about a huge cock, I'm sure.
Money shot.
He gets eaten by a bear. That's how it ends.
Awesome.
All right.
So back on. Coming in at ninth place is Divergence, adding. Did I say Divergent? Divergent, adding $3.6 million, giving it a pretty impressive $139 for domestic, and we're looking at $232 overall worldwide. So, well, we'll see a sequel there, which apparently they're splitting into two parts, which...
It's $3, so it's actually going to be 4 flicks.
Is it already? Oh, I thought it was.
I thought you said $3.
No, $3, as in novels, as in literature,
as in.
And they're splitting the last part into two parts, a la Harry Potter and whatever.
Twilight and Hunger Games.
I fucking hate that cash grab bullshit. Just give me the one movie.
And of course, rounding out the top 10 is the instant classic, A Haunted House 2, adding 3.2 million, giving it a total of 14 million on a $4 million budget. I have nothing to say, but whoever saw this is, I don't know how it made $14
million. Dude, it's already made money.
I don't know how it made $4, not only 14.
I love it. All right, upcoming movies for this week. Oh, yeah. Spider-Man's coming out. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Check out the trailer and get our thoughts.
Every day I wake up knowing that the more people I try to save, the more enemies I will make. And it's just a matter of time before I face those with more power than I can overcome.
I'm so sorry, I'm late. I had a traffic thing.
Did your traffic jam have anything to do with being, I don't know, shot at by machine guns?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was implied. That was implying that.
Peter Parker. Harry Osborn.
You're gonna want to see this.
Oscorp.
Get you
under surveillance.
Why?
Isn't that the question of the day?
Something you're not telling me yet, May.
I once told you that secrets have a cost. The truth does, too.
My name is Richard Parker. I have discovered what Oscorp was going to use my research for. I have a responsibility to protect the world from what I know they're capable of.
What is all this?
The future.
We literally can change the world.
What about Peter?
Not everyone has a happy ending.
This is bigger than you, Peter.
I made a choice. This is my path.
Soon, everyone in the city will know how it feels to live in a world.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 starring Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker. We've got Emma Stone, Jamie Foxx, Colm Feore is actually in this too. Big fan of a Canadian actor. What I find interesting in this trailer, Electro is not predominant. From what I understand, he is the predominant villain in this. But it seems to be a lot of Harry Osborn seen in this movie. So that kind of confuses me. I know there was a lot of talk about too many villains being in it, but Webb discusses in a previous article that Rhino's only in for about 5 minutes or so. But it's definitely high on the curiosity factor I'd mentioned earlier. I'm going to check it out for sure, probably even this weekend. Wasn't a fan of the first one because of story purposes, like I'd mentioned earlier again. But I'm optimistic for this one, even though I'm not a huge fan of this the look of Electro, but keep an open mind, even though the story in the first one kind of disappointed me a bit. Let's throw this to Kev, year and a.
I'm way behind on the Spider-Man movies, so maybe if I eventually catch up on all of them, for now it's an A.
Carp?
I'm a maybe. I just have to catch the first Amazing Spider-Man.
Have you set, year and a?
You don't need to watch all of them. You just need to watch the last one because according to this franchise, the other three didn't happen. And I've heard some really good things about the villain work in this and seems like very promising right now for Spider-Man, especially if they're going to eventually lead it to the movies that everybody wants to see is Carnage and Venom.
Will, here, Nick?
Yeah, I'm watching it this Saturday, I think.
Awesome. All right. Let's get into the DVD releases for this week.
DVD release.
All right, Will, what's on DVD this week?
All right, so we have these very anticipated movies like Gloria, which is a film about a woman who's in love with a naval officer.
Sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great. There's also a movie about The Rocket, not about Maurice Richard. It's actually about an unlucky
nobody
boy.
Knows who that is.
What? Sorry? You don't know who he knows? Nobody cares?
Nobody does. It's Americans. They don't know what hockey
fine.
Is.
Fine. Fuck them. Okay. They know what lacrosse is, right? No, I'm kidding. So, The Rocket, it's a very known movie about a boy who's known to be very unlucky. So, he takes his family across Laos through a country scarred by war, and he builds a rocket. Now, there's also another film called Legend of Hercules, which is not the one with The Rock. It's actually one with Keelan Lutz. I would not recommend it at all. It has 2.5 stars on Amazon. Next, we also have Labor Day, a film with Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet. It looks mopey, and I don't know, it's got really good reviews on Amazon, so who knows?
Yeah, it's all fucking teeny boppers.
Looks like
shit.
I don't know. No, I think it's more like middle-aged moms. My mom would like this movie. It's got Kate Winslet. I don't know. It's fine. Then you've got Devil's Due, which is not rated very highly, but who knows? It might be pretty good. It's pretty much like an up-to-date, more gory version of Rosemary's Baby.
More like Devils Don't.
Oh, the one that's really fun, though, is Escape from Tomorrow. I want to watch this. It doesn't have great reviews, but it's fun. I'm sure you heard of it. It's cool. It's about these filmmakers went to Disneyland without talking to Disney and filmed a black-and-white movie taking place in Disneyland.
This was on D-Ren's top 10.
Yeah. I don't know. This could be interesting. It's
curiosity factor for me,
big
for
tons,
sure.
But a man losing his mind in... Well, the fun part is that it should have been pulled out, but for some reason they kept it. And the worst part is, that it's all twingy, the cover is Mickey's glove, like, all bloody. Like, what the hell?
I think, and I agree with D-Ren's point, that the fact that if they ignore it, it will make less press than if they actually actively try to get rid of
it. I agree. That's about it, no? Am I missing something?
Yeah, pretty much. Carp usually grabs some obscure DVD
well,
that we don't discuss.
I'd like to mention Locker 13 if you can.
It's the one.
Yeah, that's the one you're going to talk about?
Yep.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Oh, it seems like one of those Creepshow style anthology thrillers slash horror kind of Twilight Zone style where the mystery revolves around Locker number 13. So, you know, if I can get it for Carp's bargain bin, maybe I'll be reviewing it one day.
Speaking of the bargain bin, let's throw it to Carp as he talks about his pick of the week.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Carp, we have this week Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space, 1988, rated 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. This low-budget cult classic horror spoof has one of the great movie titles of all time. Mike and his sweetheart Debbie are smooching on Lover's Lane when they see what appears to be a meteorite crashing over the horizon. They loosen their lip lock long enough to investigate and find a curious circus tent. There, they discover malevolent clowns who stop their victims with popcorn shooting guns and acid-drenched pies in order to feast on human blood. The unfortunates are then entombed in inescapable cotton candy cocoons. Officer Dave Hansen is called to investigate with the help of Officer Mooney. For those viewers who already think clowns are a little creepy to begin with, this one will push them over the edge. Yeah, this was actually quite a bit of fun. The clown special effects were really, really well done for 88 and from the budget I saw it had. Fun little moment, the couple are trying to escape the clown spaceship and the guy makes a balloon dog. And it actually starts barking and following them like a bloodhound. So I laughed about that.
Oh God!
One of the clowns like pretends to start boxing, shadow boxing, and he's in front of these bikers, and the bikers are like, oh, "Stupid clown!" And he actually decapitates one of the bikers with an uppercut, which I found hilarious because the practical effects are really good. One clown's doing like shadow puppets and then consumes a bunch of old people with the shadow. So it was really fun. I highly suggest checking it out. And if you're scared of clowns, I definitely don't check it out because this will completely ruin you. For me, it says 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. For me,
on 100? You forgot to count there.
On
100,
but for me, it's a 6.5 acid pies to the face of 10.
All right, guys, so let's close the show, get our plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Heavyset.
You can head on over to www.kayfabesports.com. New episode up of Anything Goes as it makes its triumphant return after being gone for like a year and a half. New format, talking about wrestling, me, FTW, and Mop Jockey. We just sit down, talk wrestling like we normally do on Xbox. I'm also working on a new show called Question Kayfabe. That's where I sit down with local wrestlers and talk to them. I'm just ironing out a lot of details right now.
Awesome. Tell FTW he's a doofus bitch. Carp plugs Final Thoughts.
We should end the show on that song by him.
Yeah, absolutely. Carp plugs Final Thoughts.
As always, StableWars.com. We're constantly looking for new members. We have a couple of games coming up. More specifically, by Sunday, the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. If you do well all season long, you can win a free DVD from StableWars.com.
Will, what's going on in comic books for the win?
Well, we have the newest review by me of Batman number 5. Hope you all enjoy it. So it's comicbooksftw.com. You can read my articles. You can watch some clips. We also have, as always, we've got what works the best is the cosplay stuff. We've got a lot of cosplay to do, so you probably will enjoy that.
All right, Kev, let's get your final thoughts.
I guess I'll just quickly plug a couple TV shows. I was going to add that in, but if you want to see by far the best actress on TV, by far, check out...
True Detective, Alexandra Daddario.
No, check out Orphan Black, because it's the actress is simply unbelievable. And I'll quickly mention Arrow. It's a show that gets better every single week, and we're bracing for an explosive finale, so definitely check that out.
Dude, the last show was insane.
It was ridiculous.
It was insane.
Shut up. I just started watching it. Shut up.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. I just started watching it. Thanks. All right. So for Heavy Set, Cock Talk, Kebbo Trek, and Carp, I'm Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening. And FTW is by Curious.
I am Derain Man. FTW. I am Derain Man. FTW. I am Derain Man.
The Mountie is a handsome man.
I am Derain Man. The best of all the time. I am by Curious.
The Mountie is a handsome man.
I am by Curious.
The Mountie is a handsome man.
I am by Curious.
I might actually want to jump that guy.
I am by Curious.
I might actually want to jump that guy.
I like men, white men, black men, Asian men. I like men, white men, black men, Asian men. I like men. They smell good and I like them. I like men. They smell good and I like them.
Suck it, FDW.